orientation. And Sister Willardine passed last week, late in the week, and so we'll have her funeral in Fayette on this coming Tuesday. But just be in prayer for her family and all. But I tell you, it was a just like the week before, had good prayer with Brother Ernest and good prayer with Sister Willardine, and it's just those vessels were breaking down, and they were running out their string, and they just ran out of body and ran out of physical time. But you could see in both of them that fire, that Holy Ghost, and that anointing of God was still there and still resident. And when they laid that body down, the angels came and gave them escort into the presence of God. And we, those are wins. Those are not losses. Those are wonderful, precious things in the eyes of the Lord. So we're so glad to be a part of something that breaks the existential chain and shuts down what seems to be the inevitable loss and ruin and heartbreak. And we're able to stand in the middle of all of that and say, there is hope in this world, and there is hope in the heart of an individual human. And God has something that is greater than all of these things, the sickness and the illness and the death. And he's already overcome death and hell and the grave. And I'm just glad for that right now. We can't get off the existential journey because it's plotted out. It's already happening. We're a part of it. But we can intervene and we can change the destiny and the outcome. And we plan to do that. We are thrilled today to have Brother and Sister Dross in the house with us. He's already been down spending time with the Spanish group this morning. Some evangelists would be a little nervous because we already had an altar call. That used to drive Keith Clark crazy. But this is a third world mentality here. He believes we can have four or five altar calls, pray everybody through in the house. And so there's no end to what God can do in any one service. So, Brother Dross, Sister Dross, we're so glad you guys are here. And we want you to come this morning, Brother Dross, take your liberty and whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you.
Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody lift up your voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are some places in America, not around the world, in America, that they're saying you can't shout, you can't sing, you can't lift up your voice. And all of that, the only thing I look at that and I say, oh, so you want to shut the apostolics down. Amen. Not us. We are the people that know how to shout. We are the people that know how to sing. We are the people that know how to lift up our voice. Is there anybody in this place that can lift up a shout in the presence of God? In the name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It is always a joy to be able to come and be with the Suttons and the Sutton family in this wonderful church. Love and appreciate what God is doing in this place. And every time I come to this place, somebody calls me and asks me, where are you? And I always, it's almost like a bragging rights type of deal situation where I get to say, I am probably at one of the most unique churches in the United States of America. Amen. And it's because of exactly what Pastor just said. Amen. You have altar calls, and then you have another altar call. And one time I was here with a youth conference, and I said that this church usually starts where everybody else ends. Amen. And that is, most people would have already been done with church right now. Hallelujah. But we're just barely getting started. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to invite you to open your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and then Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. It is such a joy to be able to have my precious wife with me. Amen. That's my lady. Hallelujah. I am a blessed man, very blessed. We're about to be 27 years married. That's a blessing. Nowadays, that's like, whoa. I sat next to this one guy on the plane, and we were talking about marriage, and he said, yeah, I've been married now 44 years. I was like, wow. He said, I was 15 with the first one. Started breaking down every year that he was with four different ladies. Amen. He just put it all together. I'm thankful to the Lord, been married to the same one for 27 years. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and reading verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Some parents are like, yeah, we're in the last days. Amen. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, amen. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Luke 19 and verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. I want to preach on the subject, till he comes. Till he comes. And it's interesting because I always go into a service and I always seek the Lord for a confirmation of the word that I'm going to read, preach, deliver, and everything. And when I came in, the song that they were singing was, till he comes again. I'll sing in his presence till he comes again. Occupy till he comes. I want to preach on till he comes. We're going to have a move of God in this place. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are powerful. You are mighty. There is no God like you. In fact, you even looked all over the universe and declared that outside of you, there is no other God that saves. You are the only saving God. You are the Alpha and Omega. Lord, you know all things from the beginning. And I pray, God, by the power of your Spirit, every person that is in this place and every person that is watching online, it has been a God design that they are in this place and they are listening. And I pray by the power of your Spirit that your glory will come upon us, that you will quicken our spirit, awaken our spirit, God, so that we can be prepared for the times that we are facing now. In Jesus' name, put the devil in his place And let your name be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Now clap your hands to the Lord and give God the praise. Somebody give God the praise in the house. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. I know I look young, but I'm not that young. Amen. I just wear age good. Hallelujah. But I remember as a young man back in 1988, when there was a book that came out, 88 Reasons Why God Will Come in 1988. I don't know if some of y'all remember that time, but a lot of people were very nervous or scared and freaked out because it was 1988. I remember that at that time we were traveling all over the United States on deputation as missionaries. And I was about, I would say maybe 13 years old around there. And there were different churches that we were going, and there was different churches that they literally took that book as the coming of the Lord. And even the date that the author had said that the Lord was going to return. In one church in particular that we went to, people even sold their properties and donated the money to the church. Amen. And started living on the church property in tents. I remember that we were on the church property in a motorhome, and people wouldn't let us sleep because they were praying all night. Amen. And so because we were the missionaries, they took us out shopping for clothes and bought us. I mean, that's the most clothes I've ever bought on one shopping spree. Literally a whole wardrobe of clothes and name brand stuff. I thought we were living it up. Amen. And then at the same time, I was confused because we can't take this stuff to heaven. Amen. But yet they were buying us all this stuff. I remember they even bought my dad a cell phone at that time. And it wasn't cell phones like we have nowadays. It was in a bag. Amen. It was a bag cell phone where it had a wire attached to the bag, and you had to lift up the antenna and be able to dial out of that. Amen. And then from there, the cell phones went to the brick, and that's where a lot of calls ended up falling, because when they'd go to answer, they'd knock themselves out. Amen. Praise God, we've come up quite a distance. Amen. Now the phones are smarter than us. Amen. And so at that time, about a week before the date that supposedly the Lord Jesus was supposed to come, we ended up leaving and continuing with our travels. And when the Lord did not show up on that date, many of those people ended up backsliding, ended up leaving the church. In fact, there were several that even filed a lawsuit against the church wanting their money back because they felt that they were deceived by the book and by the preacher and all of that. And so there were many that were deceived or lost the faith in that moment. But if they would have just noticed the scripture that the Bible says that no one knows the day nor the hour. Amen. Not even the angels know when the Lord is to return. Hallelujah. That is scripture. Hallelujah. But one thing that we have for sure is that the Lord Jesus gave us warnings of the last days. He gave us warnings so that we can be on the alert, so that we can recognize what is going on in the world and be able to say, okay, the Lord's coming is coming soon. So therefore, he begins with allowing us to know that that we need to be cautious of a spirit of deception that is going to come into the world. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, that no man deceive you. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That even says that even people that you would qualify or look at as people that are settled in their ways, they will also be deceived by it. He says, don't be deceived by these things. The next few verses, the Lord begins to tell us what are the signs that we need to see on earth to give us the indication of his soon return. Matthew 24, verse 5, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. They shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine. I want you to listen to that, famines. I was just reading this morning that Venezuela, right now, they're going through a famine, that one out of three people are dying of hunger in Venezuela. That's famine, facing hunger. It says pestilence. Pestilence or diseases. This has been a year of virus, a year of diseases. Earthquakes in diverse places. I was reading that just yesterday there were 6 earthquakes in different parts of the world with a magnitude of 5.1 to 6.1 on the Richter scale. That's a lot of earthquakes that probably nobody in this place even heard about. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. I feel like we are in that moment right now, where people are offended easy and betraying one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, you gotta hold on. You gotta endure to the end. You gotta have a faith that's gonna go through the trial. A faith that's gonna go through some trials and situations and be able to say, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be able to say, I'm gonna make it. I have not come this far to step back and to lose it. I'm gonna keep on walking. Somebody that's determined to keep on walking, give God praise in the house. Clap your hands to the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we read these scriptures and we're not careful, all of a sudden we would look at these warnings as something to begin to live a life full of fear. A life that is very guarded and paralyzed by fear of our surroundings. All of a sudden, because we begin to see the signs of his coming, It is a moment for us to hide because of what is going on in the world. We could misread these verses and even allow them to cause us to live more in a defensive mode. Hallelujah. Try to shield ourselves and even be, you're going to have to forgive me, but weak in our walk and weak in our convictions. Hallelujah. That we ought to be careful because obviously we are doomed and hopeless in the last days. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. The Bible teaches that the world and the spirit of this world is the system of the Antichrist. And it's against God. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand something. This is not the time for us to begin to pray and ask God to deliver us of this moment, but to allow us to shine like we've never shined before. Ah, somebody give God praise. The Lord did not give us the warnings, and Paul did not give us the warnings of the time, hallelujah, for us to escape this hour, but for us to be engaged in this hour. I'm a preaching in this place. Somebody got to get this word in their spirit. Clap your hands to the Lord. See, I believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming. Anybody else believe that in this place? The Lord is coming. I want you to look at somebody and tell them the Lord is coming. And if you're in this place and you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, baby, you better get your life ready, because the Lord is coming. And if you're not saved, you ain't making it to heaven. There's only two ways. It's either heaven bound or hell bound. Baby, you've been living hell too long. Might as well switch and get into the direction of heaven. Somebody ought to give God praise right now. I believe that the Lord is coming soon. But I believe that we as a religious body have been more focused on preparing for exit and not preparing for spiritual warfare. Amen. In fact, there are folks that have been so prepared for exit, they're not ready for any trial that we go through. They're not ready for any tribulation that we might go through, through any persecution that we might go through. Baby, we're about to go through some stuff. Amen. I don't know if you know it, but we're about to go through some stuff. We're about to go through some treacherous moments. And it will be a trial of our faith. But God is raising up an army that does not have a fake faith, but a genuine faith in a walk with Jesus Christ. Somebody give God praise right now. See, the apostles and disciples lived in the hope of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they also believed that it was their job to evangelize the world and that Jesus would not return until they had finished their job. That created in them a passion and a drive to preach, to teach and make disciples,
to cast out the devils, to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and see the dead rise up, to be able to preach the gospel all over the world in demonstration and be able to establish the kingdom of God in every town and in every city. They were driven with a passion that persecution could not take out of them. It didn't matter if people were to speak bad about them. If anything, it drove them even more to do something for the kingdom of God. Not too long ago, I was in a church where they still have testimony service. My God of mercy. This lady got up and she started saying about how she was being persecuted at job because they were making fun of her because of her skirt being so long and her hair being uncut. And she was saying about how she was going through persecution. And at the end, she raised her hand and she said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly." I wanted to grab that lady and kind of sort of in a Pentecostal way slap her. Hallelujah. Because that is not persecution. That is somebody making fun of you, but that is not persecution. I am of the different thought. I'm actually saying, Lord, delay your coming because we still have a world that needs to be evangelized. I don't know about you, but there are some folks in this place that if Jesus was to come right now, your family would go to hell. Your loved ones would go to hell. I don't think you want them to come until your family is saved. That ought to rise up in your spirit. Somebody give God praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the point that I'm trying to drive tonight. Hallelujah. They were not hiding out, the disciples. They prayed for Jesus to come. They weren't praying for Jesus to come and just rescue them. They were convinced that they had to impact the world. They had to impact the world. They had to get the gospel out. Hallelujah. That as much as the forces of hell were trying to drag souls to hell, they were determined to take souls to heaven. They knew that their mission was to be able to unpopulate hell, to be able to populate heaven, be able to take souls out of hell and put them into heaven. It was a passion within them. It was a determination. If we don't preach, we delay his coming. My God, have mercy. It was so driven inside of them. The early church embraced their mission. When Jesus had said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," which we know what that name is. He told them in Matthew 24 and 14, in this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. He's saying until this gospel is preached around the world, then shall the end come. These are the things that impacted the disciples. They were impacted by this. They were stirred by it. There was something that lifted up in their spirit, because they knew that the return of the Lord depended on their work here on earth. Whew. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's absolutely dynamic. They were in spiritual warfare, battling against hell, but still preaching the gospel. They weren't quiet. They weren't comfortable. They were preaching the gospel. Who is quiet in here? I like it when it gets quiet. I've preached on the radio. Hallelujah. What's amazing about the apostles is that they were pushing back to the forces of darkness. They were preaching and prophesying. They were healing the sick and casting out devils. They were lifting up the name of Jesus like never before. They literally believed and actually totally believed. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. They believed it. They believed it. They believed that the power operating inside of them was greater than the power that was operating in the world. But if you look at the church today, it would look as if the power of the world is greater than what is operating in us. Whew. It's going to get tougher. The church had that mission in their hearts. They believed that God had left them planted here on earth to carry out the message. The mission to reach the world with this gospel. Oh my God, have mercy. I believe that this is something that we have lost in the modern church of America. We have lost our sight on the mission. It is as if we have adapted a new mission, and that is our only mission is just to make it to church. If I could just make it to church, then I did my duty for this week. Then I accomplished for this week. And it's as if the church of America, we've lost the mission. We've lost sight of the mission. And when you lose sight of the mission, you forfeit the power to be able to carry the mission out. Hallelujah. That is why we got powerless churches and we got powerless saints, because they've lost sight of the mission. So therefore, yeah, we could talk about it and we could sing about it. And we could even show a projected thing about getting the gospel out. But if it's not inside of us, if it's not driving us, if it's not moving us and pushing us and getting us up out of our comfort place and getting us out there, then baby, we lost the vision for the mission. God did not plan a church for it to be a social club, but it's here to be an establisher of the kingdom of God. We are a hospital where souls are to be saved, where souls are to be born again in the water and in the spirit. Somebody ought to give God praise right now. Oh, God, have mercy. Somebody give God praise right now. There's been a development of modern Christians that are weak, lukewarm, fearful Christians. Man, it's quiet. And I thought that once we got out of a little bit of shelter in place, some folks would come back to church and be more powerful than they were before. But on the contrary, we've had a great loss in the midst of all of this. The majority of the churches of America have lost 30 to 40% of their congregation in the middle of all of this. Because when you lose the mission, then the world looks like it's winning over the church. Can I preach this morning? But see, that was the drive of the disciples. The drive of the disciples was that they needed to preach until Jesus was to return. We don't hold hands and wait for him to return. We occupy until he returns. We get busy until he returns. We evangelize until he returns. We pray for the sick until he returns. We cast out demons until he returns. Somebody give God praise right now. Somebody let your soul cry out to God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here of late, the Lord's been taking me to key churches in different parts of the United States of America. And there's a common thread in each one of these churches. And that is, they decided to go back to church. Amen. They decided to have church. Whether everybody else is crazy and they decide to stay home, they decided, you know what, we got to have church. We got to get back in the house. We got to get back to the preaching. We got to get back to the move of the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. I don't know if there's somebody watching me right now. You ought to get out of your bed, get out of your jammies, and get in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Somebody that's glad ought to give God praise right now. I feel that the Lord has been taking me to key churches, and this has been my assignment. Hallelujah. My assignment has been to be able to lift the faith of the church, because a lot of faith has been shattered through this whole time. Let me tell you something. This has not caught God by surprise. God's got it all under control. Hallelujah. You got to understand, this did not dethrone God. God's still in control. He still has all power. And he will always have all power. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? And then my other assignment is this, and that is we need revivalists that will rise up in the spirit of this Antichrist that is trying to govern over the world. We need people that are going to preach and evangelize and pray for the sick and cast out demons and talk about Jesus and pray in the name of Jesus and declare the name of Jesus and pray for people at work. Somebody give God praise right now. We can't have church like normal. We gotta push revival. We gotta push the gospel. We gotta get this gospel all over the world. Somebody give a shout. We got to embrace the mission. Oh God, we've got to embrace the mission. We got to get it in our spirit. We got to become so passionate about it that we can't even sleep at night because we're so passionate. We got to become so burdened in our soul for our family that hasn't been saved yet. Hallelujah. Do you literally want to see your family go to hell? Or do you want to see them saved by the power of God? Do you want to see your friends go to hell? Or do you want to see them saved? Do you know that you're the voice of God for their life? And if that voice stays quiet, the only one that's going to be judged for their soul, it is you, because you stayed quiet. Oh God, let us get the mission inside of us. Let us get the burden for souls like we've never had before. Let us get back to a spirit of praise that fear cannot quench. Because we need to spread the gospel. We need to get that conviction in us that the Lord's return is being held back because of our lack of spreading the gospel. I feel the glory of God in this place. We have become too distracted in the times that we are living in right now. And we've gotten our eyes off of the mission. We need to get it back. We need to get conviction back. We need to be more apostolic than we've ever been. I'm telling you, the moment somebody tells you to shut up, you ought to be shouting even louder. Years ago in Mexico City, man, we confronted spirits because nobody had gone in to that city with a strategy to be able to reach that city. And my dad comes in, and he comes in with a strategy to reach Mexico City. At that time, it was the largest city in the world. And my dad, just so passionate to reach that city. And we go into that city and we start going. I had never confronted so many demonic spirits like I confronted in the first 2 years of being in Mexico City. Sometimes it was even disheartening because I was under the
influence that because there was such a lack of churches that there would be a huge hunger. But it's amazing that when Satan has got a hold of a soul, he will fight tooth and nail to hold you back from getting that soul. And so there was a lot of having to deal with demonic spirits and everything. And I remember one of the things that my brothers and I would do, we would get on the subway, not the restaurant, amen. We'd get on the subway, hallelujah, the train system of the city. And we'd get into one of the carts and we would preach a minute message that would take us from one stop to the other stop. And as one was preaching, the other one was handing out tracts. It was just my brothers and I. Amen. It was interesting because that was about the only time that we had peace amongst ourselves, because we had the same common enemy, and that was our goal, and that was to save Mexico City. Amen. And there's peace. Amen. But hey, brothers are brothers. Hallelujah. And so one would preach and the other ones would hand out the flyers. And we'd do that. We'd do that 5 hours, 8 hours a day. Because we didn't know nobody in the city. We just wanted to reach people. Just wanted to get the gospel out. And I remember that it was my turn to preach. And so I stood I was at the one end of the train. And I just began to preach. And the moment I said, in Jesus' name, there was this lady that was on the other side of the cart. And she was a big mama. She's a big lady. She was like a walking two-door refrigerator. Amen. She was big. Amen. And I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Pray for me. Amen. That's a lot of refrigerator. Amen. And so she was at the end. And she yelled out. And she said, don't you preach in the name of Jesus. Whew. Well, I was cocky and I didn't know any better. I don't think I've learned. Amen. So I looked at that as a challenge. And I said, in the name of Jesus. She said, I'm telling you right now, you say it one more time, and I'm coming after you. So I even yelled it a little louder. I said, in the name of Jesus. Well, I, you know, I expected her to fall out, jump out of the train, do something, you know, fall on her knees, because I said it with authority. Oh, God, help us. Well, that lady takes off running. Not that way. This way. And she's coming. And all of a sudden, all I see is a wall coming towards me. And I'm like, in Jesus' name. En el nombre de Jesús. And she ran me over, landed on top of me. And I'm like, it was like a nightmare happening in broad daylight. I was like, I couldn't move. And she said, I told you not to preach in that name. And when I looked at her in the eyes, I saw the demonic spirit that was behind it. And something switched inside of me. And
I just looked at her right in the eyes. I said, in Jesus' name. She said, no, no. I said, in Jesus' name. Something rose up inside of me. I got my fight back. I got that fight back. And that's what God wants for the church to get. Church needs to get its fight. Gotta get its fight back. We're not bowing down to the shaming of this world. We gotta preach the gospel. Somebody say, we gotta preach the gospel. That lady got up. She began to back down and go backwards. And as she was going backwards, I kept on walking forward. Because now I had it. Hallelujah. By the time we got to the back door, the door opened and she took off running. I want you to hear something. It was out of that train that we got our first Bible study. Because they saw a demonstration of power. May we get the mission. I feel the glory of God. I come to stir you, church, because there is no church like this church in this city and in this state. And there are other churches that are watching you. And this is your time. You need to rise up like you've never risen up before. You need to preach like you've never preached before. Those waters of baptism need to be stirred. Even when churching in operation, the waters need to be stirring. People need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. On the streets, in the school, at work. You need to be laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. Ukarabatai, be apostolic, not just in these four walls, but be apostolic in the community. Be apostolic at school. Be apostolic at the workplace. Somebody lift up your voice. I need intercessors to begin to walk these aisles right now. Hikarabatariela Boshaya. I feel a burden coming over this place, a stirring in the spirit. I need intercessors to begin to walk the aisles. We need souls or we die. We need to get the mission inside of us that we cannot sleep. We cannot rest. We've got to get that passion that the apostles had. That passion for souls to spread the gospel all over the world. Somebody begin to lift up your voice right now. Somebody got to get a burden for their family. Somebody got to get a burden for their friends. Somebody got to get that burden inside of them. We're going to further the gospel. It's not just going to be in these four walls. We're not going to allow for the world to dictate how we get the gospel out. We're going to evangelize. We're going to get out there. We're going to pray for the sick. Somebody lift up your cry. In the house of the Lord, I want to see those folks that are saying today, I'm going to respond to the mission. I'm going to get that mission inside of me. I want it stirred up in my spirit. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Lift up your voice. The glory of God is in this place. The church is positioned in the right place. God has positioned this church in the right place. Preach. Preach till you can't preach anymore. Pray like you've never prayed before. Until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes, let this stir up in your spirit. I need some folks right now to get into a spirit of intercession, to begin to pray. Somebody lift up your voice right now. There are some folks right now, you ought to be in this altar. You ought to be in this altar praying like as if your loved one is in this altar praying right now. You ought to be praying in this altar by faith, saying, I'm going to see my family in this altar. I'm going to see my family be saved. I'm going to see my friends be saved. Let that burden of the Holy Ghost come upon you right now. Somebody got to pray for their mama. Somebody got to pray for their daddy to be saved. Somebody got to pray for their children to be saved. It's got to rise up within your spirit. We can't be comfortable anymore. We can't be comfortable. There's got to be a stirring in our soul. That's it. Lift up your cry. 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 Could it be that a loved one is holding in the balance because the cry that you will lift up today, loved one is here. Salvation is dependent on what you cry out today. We want to see a revival all over this city, God. Buses, loads of young people coming to the church, Lord. Upon buses, God. We want to see your glory. We want to see revival. Let the burden of the mission come upon us. Oh God, let the burden of the mission come upon us. Let the burden of the mission. Give us revival, God. There's a mama that needs to cry out. There's a daddy that needs to cry out. Somebody gotta touch heaven right now.
Boldness come upon us in this place.
Messiah.